Thanks for downloading this free audio sermon from Bethel Church, Coventry. For more audio downloads, updates on the building project and other information, why not visit us online at www.bethelcoventry.org.uk.
So the reading will be taken from Genesis 32, verses 22 to 32. That night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two maidservants, and his 11 sons, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." The man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with men and have overcome." Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask my name?" Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the Israelites do not eat the tendon attached to the socket of the hip, because the socket of Jacob's hip was touched near the tendon.
Good morning, everyone. It's wonderful to be with you here today. Just before I actually start, I think some of you may be planning after the service just to come and spend a little bit of time with me related to some research I've been doing. If you are planning to do that, we're going to meet around about 12:15, maybe 12:30 in the room next door, and I think some of you may have brought sandwiches. Having said that, yesterday at the wonderful dedication service, you may be feeling rather tired, so I quite understand if you don't feel you can make it today as well to that. Today I want to begin by focusing on some of the things that actually we've been talking about so far related to the ongoing work of the living Jesus. Today, I wanted to focus in particularly on the real presence of Christ, on the living presence of Christ, the living presence of Jesus through the Spirit of Christ, the Christ who is present with us today in this place, the Christ who is present with us in everything that we do because he has sent us the Spirit. And I wanted today just to focus in a little bit by thinking about the ongoing ministry of the Spirit of Jesus, of the Holy Spirit, of the Spirit sent by Father God to this world to continue to represent Christ to the world, and also for each of us, as we are filled with the Spirit of the Lord, that we also participate in what Christ is calling us to do as his followers. And I wanted to focus today particularly on something that I began with last time I preached here, because I think it's so important to what I want to look at today, particularly when I think about the healing presence of Jesus. Today I want to focus on the healing presence of Jesus, but I want to start off by focusing again on something that is absolutely core to Christian belief. Absolutely core to the ancient deposit of the faith of Israel, of the Judeo-Christian faith. And it is something that we need to take to heart and understand in a deep sense in terms of what Scripture has to teach us. So I'd like you to turn with me, if you would, to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 1. We've referred to this once before, but I like to focus in on a very important teaching that we find in the book of Acts regarding the ongoing ministry and mission of Jesus, the living Jesus. And you may remember the Great Commission that is found in the end of Matthew chapter 28, where Jesus sends out his disciples and he says to them, go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them all things, and to obey all the things that I have commanded you. He said, behold, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and behold, I am with you always to the very end of the age. The living presence of Jesus. Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am present with you. And I'm absolutely convinced in my own journey, and I know that we're here today as well to worship and to celebrate a living, present Jesus. Christ is with us in all that we do, not just in the worship hour, but in every aspect of the life that we have as we put our faith in the living Jesus. Now, according to Acts, the second book, probably written by Dr. Luke, a companion of the of another important writer in the New Testament called Paul, Luke begins his second book by addressing his patron, probably the one he is writing his book for and to, somebody called Theophilus. And he says in Acts chapter 1, verse 1, referring to his former book, The Gospel According to Luke, now introducing a second one about the ongoing work of Christ in his church, he says this to Theophilus, chapter 1, verse 1, in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. I love that first verse. Luke reminds Theophilus, he reminds us that the gospel that first of all that he has shared is based around the words and works of Jesus. Because he said in the first book, I want to remind you of all that Jesus began to do and teach. But you know, the mission that Christ has given to us, the part of the mission of Jesus and the ministry of Jesus in the world today and in our lives today is that he's still continuing it. The risen Christ still is continuing his ministry in the world today. And those are based, Luke says, on the words and works of Jesus. They were a beginning in Jesus' ministry, but with the coming of the Spirit, Christ continues his mission. Christ continues the ministry. Christ is a real living presence in our lives today. And these are important words for us to consider, because the book of Acts, as the book which focuses on the work, as it were, of the people of God, of the church, we call this the church, of the people of God, the followers of Christ, is that Christ continues his work, but he will do that in participation with each of us. Through the work of his Spirit, not just outside of us, beyond us, but within us as well. And so the disciples were told, wait in Jerusalem until power comes from on high. And I spoke before, chapter 1, verse 8, the Greek word they use for power from on high is dunamis, which means dynamite. You know, it's like the word we use for dynamite nowadays. It means an energetic, explosive, dynamic force and power of God, the almighty power of God. And Jesus said, let us remember, he said, all the power in heaven and earth has been given to me. You know, with power there is also authority. In Jesus' name, all authority and all power is invested. And we mustn't forget that. We think about the healing presence of Jesus today. I want to think about this. It's particularly pertinent to a communion service. And when we think about what Luke had to say to Theophilus, he said, I want to, first of all, remind you about the first book, about all that Jesus began to do and teach. And, you know, we mustn't forget that the living Christ today still calls us forward to go to a society that is in need of healing, to go to a society which needs the living Jesus. Jesus' mission, his ministry, is not ended. And we as followers are called to participate in that ongoing mission, to be filled with that power from on high, to live in the light of this promise that Jesus is continuing to do and to teach today. And he wants to do that through each of us, as those called to make disciples of others. And I was thinking, you know, if you look at the gospel story, you cannot but miss that people really, really needed God to break into their lives, and they needed healing. And I've been feeling for several weeks now, as I've preached here several times, what is it, Lord, that you would like me to bring out to try and emphasize? And one of the things that I felt, I talked to Keith about this probably at the beginning of the year, actually in January, I may have mentioned this once before, is a sense that Christ as healer, Christ as the one who brings about change and transformation in our lives, wants to make sure that that is brought into each of our lives. You know, as we think about our own journeys, about our lives, about our experience of God, wherever you are in that journey at the moment, whether perhaps you're thinking, for the first time, I'm thinking about inviting Jesus into my life. Whether you've walked for some time with the Lord and you're feeling that there's been some struggles here. And I need your help, Lord. I need to go deeper. I need you to expand my heart. I need you to sort out issues in my life. There are things that need healing in my life. However long we've been walking with the Lord, wherever we are in that journey today, the big message is that Christ is still present to heal. Christ is still present to transform. Christ wants to do this deep down, not just on the surface. I remember C.S. Lewis once said, the writer C.S. Lewis, he said that I became a Christian in the year that I learnt to dive. I'm terrified of diving. I don't know about you. Have you ever stood on the top of a huge high diving board and jumped headfirst off it? I stood there shaking quite a few times, and eventually I managed it one day, and somehow I managed to go into the water without doing what they call a belly flop, which would have been very painful. But, you know, the thing I learnt about diving is that it's about letting go. Diving is about letting go. Diving is about saying, I am going to dive into your arms, Lord. Lewis said, in the year I learnt how to dive, I learnt how to let go. I learnt to let go and let God. And, you know, one of the principles is that so often in our lives we can hold on tight to things. Even if we've walked with the Lord for some years, or even at the beginning of our journey, wherever we are, we can hold on so tight that we don't give any room for God to come in and actually make a difference within us. To do that which we can't do for ourselves. And that's fundamental to the grace of God. That's fundamental to the coming of Jesus. That's fundamental to the ministry and the ongoing mission of Christ today. Through his Spirit. That is that only Christ is the answer. Only Christ brings transformation. Only Christ can reach in deeply to bring about healing within ourselves. And so today I wanted to start off by focusing on what Christ does to bring about transformation in us. I'd like to try and bridge in a bit here to come to the story of Jacob then. And you'll see how this relates in a couple of minutes. Natania read for us the story of the night when Jacob wrestled with a visitor, had a kind of a real wrestling match, and the story of Jacob is an important story because it's entitled in my particular NIV here, Jacob Wrestles with God. Jacob wrestles with God. And I'm wondering today, what is it that each of us are wrestling with? What is it that we wrestle with that in somehow is the very act of us wrestling is somehow keeping God at arm's length. Do you see where I'm coming from? Sometimes we can fight so hard to try and sort things out for ourselves that we don't actually learn to let go and let God. And Jacob, on this night, and if you know the story of Jacob, by the way, the story of Jacob is that when he was a younger man, his older brother Esau was due to receive the blessing from his father for the birthright. And his brother Esau was deceived by Jacob, and Jacob had instead got the blessing for the birthright. And as a result of this, Esau was very cross with Jacob. And Jacob knew what he had done was wrong. He knew that he had deceived his older brother, the one who, if you like, at least in the culture of that time, was worthy in the eyes of that culture and that law to receive the birthright. And he ran away. In fact, Jacob spent quite a bit of his life on the run. On the run, not just from Esau, who was very angry with him, who had plans for Jacob's life that would not be healthy for him, let's put it that way, but he was also, in a deeper sense, possibly also on the run from God. On the run because somehow deep inside he knew that what he had received, he felt he did not deserve. He felt that deep down inside, there is this thing in me that's putting God out of my life. God was kept in some sense at arm's length in this story. And he spends many years doing this, and we know that he goes also and stays with one of his relatives and ends up, after about 14 years, I think it is, marrying two women. And he hears eventually, some years down the road in this story, that Esau is coming along with his men, with his small armed force of tribesmen, with all of his animals, because they were essentially a kind of Bedouin herds people that were traveling around. And he thought, oh no, Esau's coming to get me. At last, the past has caught up with me. At last, my past has caught up with me, and what am I going to do? At last, I'm going to be called to account. And in the darkness of that night, it says that night Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons and crossed the ford of Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. And at first, I think that he thought he was probably wrestling for his life with maybe a would-be assassin that he thought maybe Esau had sent. He may have even thought it was Esau. But there he was wrestling in the night. And what a wrestling match it was. I think I'd have been worn out after 10 minutes. But it seems like it went on for a long time. And he wrestled and he wrestled. But in that wrestling, he was also wrestling not just with this brother, this estranged brother, this broken relationship, but also in a deeper sense, he was wrestling with a God that somehow he had kept at arm's length. He was wrestling in some deeper sense with things that needed to be brought to healing in his life. Things that had actually wounded his heart, wounded his relationships, wounded his relationship with God. He was keeping that at arm's length, and that wrestling can represent the wrestling of all of us. We can wrestle in so many different ways with so many different things and not do the one thing that is needful, and that is to let go and let God come in. He wrestled all night. And eventually daybreak comes, and he sees the one that is wrestling with him is, well, no ordinary being. This is no ordinary person he has wrestled with. And Jacob says, verse 26, then the man said, let me go, for it is daybreak. But Jacob replied, I will not let you go unless you bless me. Unless you bless me. I need something deeper. He needed something more. He realized now that who he had been wrestling with was not the one that he thought he had been wrestling with. He had been wrestling with God, the angel of God. Some ancient church fathers, theologians said it was even possibly the pre-incarnate Son of God that he was wrestling with. But he wrestled there. And he realized that he had not been wrestling with a normal being. This was a supernormal being. This was one sent by God. I will not let you go unless you bless me. The man asked him, what is your name? Jacob, he answered. Then the man said, your name will no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome. Have overcome. What had he overcome? What had changed? What was it that was happening in this relationship that was going to bring about a difference? What was it? And in fact, the story it follows afterwards shows that what happened in that transformative encounter with Jacob led to a healing of a relationship between him and Esau later. Close on the heels of that very day. Something had changed. His heart had been brought to a new wholeness. Something had been healed deep inside. Jacob said, please tell me your name. Because, of course, name in the ancient culture revealed character. It revealed what the one that was wrestling with you was like. Who that is. Who that one is. Please tell me your name. Please tell me your identity. Please tell me, who are you? He replied, why do you ask me my name? Then he blessed him there. Now, this is the bit I love about this story. This is the bit I love about this story. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, it is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared. Peniel, Hebrew word, means face. He saw the face. He saw a face that was not angry. He saw a face that was not full of judgment. He saw a face that was full of welcome. He saw a face that healed that sense that I'm not good enough. I'm not accepted. Somehow God is not for me. But in some sense, this God is against me. He saw the face. And the face welcomed him and offered grace, forgiveness. He said, I saw the face of God and lived. You see, there's something about the face of God that we see. This living Christ who we serve, where I suspect sometimes we say it's all too good to be true. Surely God cannot forgive me completely in Christ. Surely God cannot fully accept me if he really knows all the horrible things that go inside my head. Surely God cannot really be that good. Sometimes lurking deeper down, and I'm looking at myself in my own journey with the Lord here, sometimes lurking deeper down, there can be those parts of us that say, is really God that good? Is God really for me in that way? Is God really full of grace to me in such a way? Does God really love me completely in every way? And I have to say, as I look at Scripture, I have to say that it says that God knows us every bit of us, Every single part of us. Each of us here today, as we are here in the presence of the living Jesus today, are known completely to God. Everything. Those bits of us that resist, those bits that need to be brought to wholeness, those pieces that need to be brought to healing, those pieces that need to be invaded by the love of God to sink down deep, deep into our hearts so that we know that in Christ we are completely and utterly accepted. Completely and utterly forgiven. And healing comes not so much when I intellectually know that, but when I also know that to be true in my heart, deep down. It's about heart surgery. A surgery that transforms our picture of God, in other words, to see the grace of the face and to say with Jacob, Peniel, I've seen the face. I've been running for years. I've been keeping your arm's length for years. And yet you're present with me here, Lord. The living presence of the Christ who heals. And that is an amazing thought. An amazing thought that this is what we need. But as much as we learn to let go and to be transformed in our lives and healed in our own hearts and lives, as much as we learn to be able to do that, and to know the face of the grace of God in such a deep sense that it transforms not just my intellectual intelligence, but my emotional intelligence as well. The way that I treat others and the way that others treat me, the way I see others and the way I see God, it's only as deep as that goes that I can also then introduce others to that same living Jesus. And say, I have confidence that you who transform and heal me on those deeper levels, those pieces that are keeping me away from you, those things that I'm actually not wanting to bring into the light, not wanting to be healed up, yeah? The depth of that transformation in me is also the type of Christ that we serve, the type of Jesus who came and healed all of the sick. To the depths of their beings, not just from some surface level leprosy or something like that. The healing that Christ brought was deeper than the surface. It's for all that we are, in all that we are. Peniel, what picture of God do you have? Who is God to you? Is this God somebody today that you can bring who you are with your journey now, with your issues now, to him? And to know that he says, I do not condemn, but rather I welcome, I heal, and I love you. What an amazing God. This is what the living presence of the real gospel is, Jesus. A real Jesus. A real living presence. This is the work of the Spirit among his people. And this is the work of the Spirit the world needs. People need. We're going to be taking part in communion today. And I was thinking, you know, in the early church, Jesus talked about the bread and the wine, didn't he? And also, he talks of us as the body of Christ. Christians as the body of Christ. And when Jesus did the first Passover communion service, if you want to call it that, the first Passover service, when he said, this is my body, and this is my blood, which is given for you. He was stating a very deep, profound truth there. He was saying, as you take part in these, you become much, much, much more than just a surface level follower. Because when you eat, what you eat becomes part of you. Intimately part of you. Intimately transforms you. And you know, I was thinking today, if each of us bring our own issues here today, our own joys, whatever they might be. Whatever we bring here today, I'd encourage you as you take part in this communion service to realize, for us to realize deeply that Jesus is here with us. And as we take part in these elements, we can say, Lord, will you transform those deeper parts of me that need bringing to wholeness with you? Will you transform me on that deeper level because I partake in those elements with you, because they become a whole part of us. And I think this is where I'd like us just to come into a bit of a landing point here. So far I've spoken today about the living presence of Jesus. Jesus has always been about his ongoing teachings, the ongoing miraculous presence of Christ, the healing presence of Christ, all of those things. Christ is still present to this day to bring about wholeness and healing and transformation to each of us. That is the work of the Spirit. As we come to Christ, what sort of Christ do we see? And what sort of grace do we see? And what sort of face do we see? And how has that transformed us on a deeper level to say, it doesn't matter what I bring, none of it's too big for you. Because let's face it, folks, if anything's too big for Jesus, if anything that we're struggling with is too big for Jesus, then he's no saviour at all. Scripture says that all authority, all power is given to him. Nothing is too big to bring. I love what it says in 1 John. That John writes to probably the Christian church in Ephesus, 1 John chapter 4. I just want to read these few verses as we come to an end here. 1 John chapter 4, verses 13 through to 21. New International Version I'm reading from here. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Saviour of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and they in God. And we know and rely on the love that God has for us. This is the piece that I think is an amazing teaching about the love of God. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. This is how love is made complete among us. Or mature among us is another way of translating the phrase there. Or brought to a sense of fulfillment among us is another possible translation behind the phrase. This is how love is made complete or brought to maturity or greater fullness among us. So that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. I love those words. Perfect love drives out all fear, because God is not into the fear game of trying to destroy us with fear. But he is saying, I believe, rather in Christ, come to me as you are. I welcome you as you are in every way. All of your joys, all of your sorrows, all that you bring, you are welcome. Peniel, have you seen my face? Have you seen my grace? And when you come, you are acceptable to me in every way that you possibly could be. And I'm going to help to change you and transform you for the better. But it's going to be done in such a way that we know that God's love and grace embraces us. Deep transformation comes from eating, partaking, and consuming God into the very centre of our beings. My question for myself today and for each of us is, how consumed are we by Jesus? Amen.
You have been listening to a broadcast here from Bethel Church in Coventry. For more information and other sermons, why not visit us online at www.bethelcoventry.org.uk.